I'd like to start the message today by turning back to 2 Kings chapter 2. You can head back there. 2 Kings chapter 2. We're going to open on a story between the lives of Elijah and Elisha. And this was a very kind of interesting time for the ancient Israelites. They always kind of seemed to be on a knife's edge between brief periods of ebbing and flowing, between following God on one hand versus wholeheartedly following other gods like Baal and the like. And during this time frame, we have this remarkable prophet Elijah, one of my most favorite characters in the whole Bible. And even though his story is actually only in 8 chapters of the Bible, it's some of the most action-packed and suspenseful chapters of the whole Bible. Now, the people, whether they realized it or not, were very fortunate to have someone as dedicated as Elijah. He was a real standards bearer, holding high what it means to follow God's way of life and to listen to his directions through both thick and thin. By the time we get to chapter 2 of 2 Kings, we have an inflection point, a transition from one leader to another. Let's pick it up in verse 1 of 2 Kings chapter 2. Again, 2 Kings chapter 2, starting in verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass, when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And then Elijah said to Elisha, 'Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel.' But Elijah said, 'No, no, no, no. As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you.' And so they went down to Bethel." Verse 3. "Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came to Elijah, and they said to him, 'You know what's happening here, right? You know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today.' And he said, 'I know it. I know it. Just keep silent.'" Dropping down, verse 6, same chapter. "And then Elijah said to him, 'Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan.' But he said, 'As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to leave you. There's no way.' So the two of them went on." And Elijah is fully aware that his time with Elijah is coming to an end. And as a result, you couldn't part them, at least to Elijah's ability, even if you tried. Elijah wanted to stick with him for these last few moments. Verse 9 now. "And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, 'Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?' And Elijah said, 'Please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me.' And so he said, 'Ugh, you have asked a hard thing here. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it will not be so.' And then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen.' And so he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes, and he tore them into two pieces." And with that, it was done. It was done. The period of transition from one leader to the other flipped over the tipping point, as now Elijah looked off into the distance, now all by himself. The Bible is a remarkable book, in that it has so many different stories, examples of people's lives, poetry, prophecy, etc. But there is no way that it can fully capture everything behind all of these major events that have happened in the many thousands of years. And here, we only get a tiny glimpse into this major transaction and transition. We get a few hints from the other prophets that remained. We can go on and read the story of Elisha as he goes about his calling. But we are left to use our imagination as to what the normal everyday people really felt, what they experienced during this transition, and what the impact was to their lives. After all, Elijah was a pretty remarkable leader. There was nothing, you know, wrong with him where God said, ugh, we got to get this guy out of here. He's just not cutting it anymore. It wasn't like that at all. Elijah had proven to be one of the most impactful leaders that Israel had ever had. On the flip side, it was not wrong to be excited about Elisha. A new leader, a new perspective, a new way of thinking and attacking problems. And Elijah turned out to be pretty good as well. But even so, in this best case leadership transition, I'm sure there were all sorts of feelings, emotions of all kinds as it happened in real time. Well, brethren, what could we learn from this example and the highly unlikely chance we are faced with this sometime in the future? Maybe we'll just go through it as for the sake of exercise here today. Well, one principle that was very evident was the use of prayer. We can see this very clearly in the lives of both Elijah and Elisha. You can see it in the other prophets that supported them. You could see it in the people that served them. It was a tool that we can very much utilize in our lives today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. We're jumping into the thought here. It says, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. So this is great for this church here. They had already have a history of doing that. That's wonderful. Hopefully in our spiritual family, we have some of those same habits, verse 12. And we urge you, brethren, to do what? I mean, they're already comforting one another. They're already edifying one another. So where should their focus and their energy turn? And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now, this esteeming doesn't mean to put someone up on a pedestal, of course. It doesn't mean to look through rose-colored glasses and pretend like someone is perfect or anything like that. No, not fake esteem. Nothing artificial about it. Rather, for incoming leadership, it's to be supportive, to give the benefit of the doubt, to allow room for mistakes, to continually offer prayers for wisdom and guidance. In the case of Elijah, maybe it was to not tease him too much. If we were to go on and follow the story just a few more verses, the second major thing that he does is to call bears out to maul people that were teasing him. So I don't know how Mr. Fike works, but maybe we should kind of keep our eyes on that. I don't know. For the transitioned leadership, it's to recognize the time and energy and love and service and commitment that was freely given and to take the time to say thank you, like to literally go and tell them thank you. One of the really great ideas from the transition from Elijah to Elisha is the fact that Elisha didn't just go and swap out Elijah. And how could he? Elijah stood on his own. He was his own powerful person. He had his own merits. There was no way you could just swap out one from the other. Instead of replacing him, though, Elijah built upon what Elijah had already done and focused on increasing what was already there. He wasn't the same person that replaced him, but he was able to multiply the fruits of things that were already planted. And what a blessing it is to not have to start all the way back over and have to work from zero, but instead be able to hit the ground running in a positive direction. Speaking for myself, I am very thankful for the wonderful leadership of the Clore husband and wife team. They were, and still are, I guess, a tremendous blessing for our spiritual family here in Northern Virginia. I can be sad. And I can be thankful. I can be excited, and I can be apprehensive. I can be all of those things, and they're all perfectly fine and normal emotions to have. We have a one-of-a-kind congregation here in Northern Virginia, and a big part of that is the spirit that the Clores brought to our spiritual family. So as we get ready for this transition here in Northern Virginia, let's take a little extra time in prayer for both families so that we can have continued growth in our spiritual family.